15 seconds. It's currently 53 degrees here at the station in Santa Cruz, and we now go to the Saturday special with MZ.
Are you ready to have a lot of fun today, Aaron?
I sure am.
So am I. Now, let's see. We've got two computers. The system is all different in here, so people are going to enjoy it probably if I fumble around and don't know what I'm doing because, you know.
They enjoy anything you do, boss.
What a nice thing to say.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Okay, good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and everybody else out there who's listening to your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. 7 minutes past 10 a.m. We're going to have a rip-roaring show about water today, and water wells and government maybe starting to charge you for using your own water well. It should be a whole lot of fun, so stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Several years ago, there was an enormous controversy involving the registration and possible metering of all privately owned water wells throughout Santa Cruz County. Though there was little about it in other local media, KSCO was on top of this story, gave it significant coverage, and urged its audience to attend a Board of Supervisors meeting to give public input. I was at that meeting, and what I observed was the closest thing to a lynching of public officials that I could imagine. I actually believe the supervisors feared for their lives and, as a result, decided to drop the idea. Now, about a decade later, owners of properties with private wells have received bills from the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency demanding payment of an annual fee for having a well on their property. Do you wonder what's going to happen next? Find out on the next KSCO special when PV Water Management Agency General Manager Charles McNeish appears as our guest this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on I Would Hate to Be in His Shoes, But You Have to Respect His Courage Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
I guess that sort of served as the introduction of this very brave man. Anyhow, Charles McNeish, welcome to KSCO. Good. I'm really happy to have that you came here because the microphone is right there. So.
Good morning.
How in the world are you?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. Now, before we start, I want to say that I have a great deal of respect for you for coming and doing what you should be willing to do. But the reason I have a respect for you is because most other government agency people, particularly on Saturday, conveniently have other things to do and would rather not walk into the den of lions, as it were, here at the radio and be accountable for some things. Now, no one's going to accuse you of anything, but I'm sure you're going to be here just to let us know, you know, the facts of life here. But we are going to be using this two-hour forum to discuss the notion of what many people believe is on the way, and that is metering and charging by the government of people's private water wells. Now, as we said on the promo, it was a big issue about a decade or so ago, countywide throughout the county of Santa Cruz, and now with the sending of some bills. That I received for the first time just a couple two or three months ago, I received a bill for rental property that I have in Santa Cruz County, out in Mid County, that happens to be within the boundary of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency that you are the general manager of. So, and this was the first time I had received such a bill, and so I called your office. And you got on the phone and talked to me. It was a bill for $72, And it says, please return this portion with your $72. And all it says is, all it says was, well, actually, I guess this is a past due statement here because I didn't pay that bill. What did the original bill say? What was the $72 for?
The bill is for what we call augmentation charges. This is a use charge for water. This is the mechanism that we have to raise our revenues for the water projects that are needed because of our overdrafting situation.
Okay, and so because of overdrafting, now explain that, please.
Yeah, that's the reason the agency was formed in the first place. We date back to 1984. There was a vote of the residents within the boundaries of the agency at that time that created the agency. Our agency followed roughly 30 years of scientific documentation of this problem without there being a solution to it. Put simply, we, all of us in the Pajaro Valley, pump water from wells, same groundwater system. Collectively, we overpump it. We pump more every year than Mother Nature can provide, and that causes it.
When you say we overpump it, how do you know? I mean, how do you decide that you're overpumping?
It's very easy to tell if you measure wells, the same well or similar wells over time, you can see the groundwater levels decline. And there are some complex hydrological analyses that take place. But basically, you are dewatering an aquifer system, and you can measure that through time, just by well levels.
Yeah, and so, let's go back in history a little bit. How long has the Water Management Agency been in existence? Who set it up? Is it a real government agency? Is it a quasi-government agency? What powers does it have?
It's a California special district. We have hundreds of California special districts, water districts, cemetery districts, sanitation districts, all variety of districts. We are a water district. Ours is unique in that we do have a statute referred to as the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency Act that was specifically written for this area. It has authorities that, while they're common to many others, they are in the aggregate unique to us. So that is our primary authority, is that that set of statutes known as the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency Act.
And set up when?
1984.
Okay, so that created at an office, and you're not at the government center. You're in Watsonville.
No, right? We have our board of directors. We have seven members on our board. Those are our that's our governing body that makes our decisions, and I'm the executive manager who executes the decisions of the board.
Right. Okay. So, and now backing up to two or three months ago, when I first talked to you on the telephone to have you explain this this bill that I had received for the first time. You told me that this is something that I have I've always been paying on my tax bill, and a lot of people don't read their tax bills, and that's true. So I decided I would read my tax bill because it had just come, and I did see a charge on the current tax bill for Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. I think it was a management fee for $18. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. But I didn't have any copies of the previous tax bills. I know, I'm not very organized, and you know. But yesterday, I was able to find the time here to, since we were going to be doing this program in a couple of days, to call down to the tax collector's office and find out if there's a way for me to get copies of the previous tax bill. And the lady said, absolutely, if you got a computer there, which I did. She gave me the website to go to, and she said, well, you can not only get a copy of your current tax bill online, but you can get a copy of all of the, not all, but several years back. So I did. And I noticed that on the last year's tax bill, there wasn't an augmentation charge. And on the year before that, there was. And on the year before that, there was. And every year back that I went, there was not. So did you guys miss a year or something? Or
no, the bill that you have in your hand is the statement that replaces the billing that previously was on the tax roll.
So that's in arrears, actually.
No, I think it's accurate to say it, the way we said it is that, you know, up until a certain point of time, the augmentation charge was collected on the tax roll, and it was collected in advance on the tax roll. Then when it was no longer collected on the tax roll, we went to individual billing, then we're billing on a, you know, after-the-fact basis. So there may be a gap of what appears to be a year, but it's a difference in sort of billing in advance on the tax roll.
Well, to me, it looked like that this is a charge for using one's own water. And I think that's what the subject of this program is going to be evolving into. I checked out what you told me, and you were right on. We have indeed been paying this charge all along. But what I'm wondering is, it just seems to me that this charge really amounts to having to pay for the use of one's own water that one owns when one purchases property. Unless water and mineral rights are specifically excluded in the deed, the person owns the water underneath his or her property. And so, why did we start? Why was this broken out? Why do I have a separate bill in my hand? Because it seems to me that if people were dumb and or just inattentive like I have been about paying my tax bill and not questioning it, then you would have been much better off just keeping it the way it was, because now it raises eyebrows and calls attention to something, and here we're doing this radio program that's probably going to make your life miserable from this point, from a little more miserable this point forward. So, I mean, why isn't it still on the tax bill?
Well, the statement that I made notes that there are really three points I think I need to respond to in the statement that you just made. First of all, a little bit of background on this augmentation charge. Our agency act, this is the statute that comes from 1984 that I referred to. This envisions that the agency, for its revenues, is going to turn to three sources primarily. They're laid out in the agency act. One of them is this augmentation charge. And the statutes that govern our agency specifically authorize us to levy this augmentation charge on water pumped from wells.
Uh-huh.
So that's sort of the background. That's kind of what statutorily set forward and envisioned as that will be our.
Okay, so it's sort of like if you don't like the law, you know, work legally to change it, basically.
I think in fairness, their agencies such as ours always, not always, but oftentimes have multiple potential revenue sources, not tens of them, but different ones. I mean, this is the one that, if you read our agency act, that it seems pretty clear to most people that read it that it's envisioned that this is where the agency is going to get its money from. So when we first started collecting revenue in a significant way toward building the water projects that we need, we turned to the augmentation charge, and it first took effect in 1994, and we've collected it continuously since then.
Right.
So I said there were three points to kind of responding. That was one, a sort of just background on the augmentation charge itself. A second one, you brought up a question about who owns the water. That's a whole good question to get into, but it's a take a sentence or two to respond to it.
Well, let's do that.
Okay.
It's only a sentence or two. Shucks, let's do it.
Okay, you said when you own the property, you buy water.
Unless the water rights are specifically excluded.
That statement is wrong. You do not own the water that's under your property when you buy your property. I'm not going to pretend that I'm going to give a legal statement or a lawyer and can do that, but California water law is that groundwater is a resource that's held collectively to all of us. You have a right as an overlying landowner to pump water and to use it to the extent that it doesn't interfere with other people's rights to pump and use that water.
Right.
But so that's different than having an absolute right to pump water from your well as you wish without any fettering.
Wow. Boy, that's something brand new. And I guess
it's mineral rights are a different animal than water rights.
That's new information to me. Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? I mean, am I the only person who was thinking incorrectly on this issue? We'll take Mr. McNeish's word for it that you do not have the right, an unfettered right, I believe, which is the term you used, to use the water that is under your own land because of these things called aquifers, you know, so which is sort of like underwater.
The problem comes
reservoirs
in
or
the problem comes in a situation like we're in, where the resource is being overused and there's competition for that resource. Then there has to be some method to either share so that others' rights to use that are not compromised.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're listening to the KSCO AM 1080 Saturday Special. We're talking about water wells and water rights and government charges for people using what I always thought was their own water, but which I have been corrected in the last minute here on your favorite radio station. Our special guest is Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency General Manager Charles McNeish. And we have a request from a caller who is asking that I ask for you for a little bio, which, forgive me, I should have done at the very beginning. So what's your background a little bit? Can you give us a little?
Yes, I'm an agronomist by training. I have a...
What's agronomy? What is
it's agricultural science. I have a bachelor and master's degree in soil science. I worked in irrigation science for a number of years. I've worked at the water agency for 13 years. I've been the general manager there since 1999.
Okay, and so you're a professional agronomist, I guess. Would that be the closest?
Yes.
you're gonna give you a
sure.
title. You're gonna have
sure.
a title on you.
Sure.
Okay. And let's invite some callers to 479-1080 or 477-1340. We have a fax number if you want to send us a fax at 475-2967. The area code for all these numbers, by the way, is 831. So if you're calling from outside the 831 area code, you're going to have to dial that area code, and we will be happy to mix you into the program, as it were. We have, I guess, our first caller here will be Richard N. Watsonville. Let's see if we can bring Richard on the air. Are you there, Richard?
Yeah, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Charles.
Oh, yeah. Can you hear the...
Yes, but I didn't forget to put my headphones on there.
Okay. Yeah, Richard in Watsonville is addressing you by name.
Yeah, I said, Charles, how you doing?
Yes, I'm fine.
Good. You're not packing any heat with you today, are you?
What are you talking about, Richard?
A weapon of any kind.
Weapon?
The reason I asked this question is because the last person that was the head of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, whose name was Dave McCabe. Isn't that right, Charles?
The last general manager was Dave McCabe. That's
right,
correct.
Right, right. He got fired for having a pistol in his desk, Mike. I mean, you're talking about something here that is life or death. It's the essence of life, right?
Well, you're talking about water.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you don't own your water, man. And believe me, if you want to try and take ownership of your water, you're not only going to have to go through Mr. McNeish here, you're going to have to go through the whole state of California, because that's basically who Charles works for.
Well, that's what it's sounding like, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing...
But I don't know what you just said about the previous general manager has to do with the discussion. Can you explain?
Well, I just
that?
Want to make sure that we're not packing heat around here like we did back in the 80s and the 90s, where everybody thinks it's so prudent. You know? I mean, that was what Dave's reason for... He was the head of the water management. I used to go to the water meetings.
You were Charles' predecessor, okay.
Yeah, I used to go to the meetings all the time, man. And I was the one that came up with the idea, you know, how we could get fresh water, 72,000 gallons an hour for free. Fresh water right out of that stinking ocean. And now it's up to a 500,000 gallons of fresh water an hour. And nobody still wants to look at it. But they'll play their games and...
Well,
you know,
Richard, now we have the KSCO audience that's looking at it. So be more specific.
Well, the specifics of it was to bring an aircraft carrier in here. That was plain and simple. I mean, those things, the old ones that they're decommissioning, make 72,000 gallons of fresh water an hour.
The desalinization plant.
No, evaporation. Desalinization is done with a membrane, man.
Uh-huh.
Evaporation is done with heat, and the heat was going to be brought to us contained. You know, all that heat, all that gas that they burn off at those sewer plants, right?
Yeah.
We were going to run the steam with that. and so it'll be natural and clean like they do over at Moss Landing. The problem is that these people are in this for the money. They want a 10 or I don't know how long that pipeline is, 20 miles long maybe.
Okay, we're talking about the pipeline that is it currently under construction? Or they're still trying to get the funding together for it?
The project consists of a number of components and parts of it under construction. The pipeline itself is not yet under construction.
Okay. Tell them where it's coming from, Chuck.
Well, I think, could I just make a bit of a response? I think Richard had a very creative suggestion. I do recall when he made it several years ago.
Well, I made it several times.
Could I finish my statement, please?
Yeah, let him finish, please.
I think the reality is, though, it doesn't pencil out in terms of costs, environmental issues of having aircraft carrier in the bay and so forth. I mean, it's a creative idea. We've considered many creative ideas over time. We've looked at every pond and puddle and possible water solution, and I think we have the most cost-effective, I shouldn't say I think.
I'll tell you what, Charles. We run out of water. We run out of these aquifers. All this fresh water that you say that we don't have. The Navy will be here happy to hand you a hose, man.
Still got to run those ships
to
make
it. The thing that gets me, the thing that really gripes me is that 72,000 gallons per hour since I started this campaign back in the 80s, man, and you guys have done nothing. I mean, I went through Brad, I went through Howard Mothy. These are directors on the board, Michael. And Doug McKinney will probably call you up today. He's supposed to be something special with the water board. But, you know, it's too simple. It's too simple, and you guys should own your own water and your own minerals underneath the land that you buy, but you don't own it. No, the gentleman that's sitting there with you, Mike, has control of it, and you are going to, you know, I'd go ahead and buy my meter now while they're cheap, because they're going to get expensive, man. And they're going to charge you a lot of money for it.
I don't think so. I'm not going to buy a meter because a meter will not be on, will not be permitted on my well.
Everybody in the South County has one on every well. Do you know the Majora brothers?
Yes, yes.
Their job is to tell Mr. McNeish who's got a well.
Yeah, you're talking about the well drilling company.
Majora. Exactly, the company that drills for water around here.
Uh-huh.
You see, we have that problem.
Is that true? Is when you get a new well drilled, Charles, does that meter have to go on it, or is that what is it?
Down here it does.
Or are we only talking agricultural?
We're talking South County, Santa Cruz.
Richard, I asked Charles the question, not you. Hey, pipe down. Okay.
Yeah, the requirement is that wells that pump 10 acre feet or more per year are required to be metered. Everybody.
Okay, and that's not a new law. That's been in around for, 10 years, 14 years, something like that?
Since 1994, yeah.
Since 94.
Right.
So what is it that was.
Within our agency. That's our agency statute that applies to only wells within our boundaries.
I spoke to Nita Gizdich last night when I was preparing for this from the Gizdich Ranch, and makes great, great apples and so forth. And Nita told me that it's been 14 years since her wells have been metered. And I said, well, you've got a different kind of well than I do. I've got like a private house domestic well that doesn't pump a small fraction of what you do. But she said, nonetheless, it's been 14 years since her well has been metered, as I understand, if I understood her correctly. Does that sound right?
Well, I think so. 14 years, 1994, it's 10 years. That's the same time frame. I'm sure we're talking about the same approximate time frame there between Nita and myself.
Just yeah, but
one
you
point,
go back.
Could I just finish one other point to follow up on Michael's question? The augmentation charge starts from the same time period that the water metering requirement started. So, Michael, you have been paying the augmentation charge from that same time, and we had a set of ordinances that went in place simultaneously, so everybody was paying the use charge. You were either, your use was estimated, if you didn't have a meter, by a set of objective parameters, or it was metered. So your usage, you are paying a usage charge. That's what you've been paying unwittingly all this period of time.
So it's a flat usage charge, right?
And it's based on estimated usage of 6/10 of an acre foot per year.
They read the meter, Mike.
What? Say that again?
No, Mike doesn't have a meter.
Okay. Not yet. But no. I'm talking about down here in North Monterey County, what you guys did down here. Not only did you guys put the meters on the wells, but you also color-coded them, didn't you?
There's no...
What's that purple?
There's no coding.
What does the purple mean? Is that a well that's gone? No. That's got too much salt in it.
Okay, the purple. That's beyond. That's not us. That's the next agency down the road. That's Monterey County Water Resources Agency, and the purple means that there's recycled water that's being used as supply in that. That's called the Castroville Seawater Intrusion Project.
Okay, sure.
It's a great project, and it's purple because it uses recycled water.
Okay, here's the next question. Why haven't you guys taken over the sewer plant here and stopped the affluent water going to the ocean when it should be injected back into the aquifers down there at Paro Dunes?
We're working on that right now, Richard. We have a final design project in cooperation with the city on the to use that recycled water just like they're doing in Castroville. That project is in the works.
I laid that idea out a long time ago.
That's what this fee is going to pay for, help pay for.
I laid that idea out a long time ago, man.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, the thing is, you guys, I did the one at the science fair, the toilet to the tap. It could be recycled all the way back to your tap water. And Lowell Hurst drank some of it, the old mayor of Watsonville, and he liked it. So, you know, it can be done out there. We're not doing it. Instead, we'd rather pay somebody to send us that selenium lace crap that's sitting over there in Los Banos by pipeline over to us over here so we can have water.
Why do you call it the implication, Richard, is that if something has selenium in it, it's bad. Selenium is good. In fact, it prevents heart disease.
Not in major
cancer.
Not in major
that?
Forms, though. Not in major amounts, Mike.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this stuff came out of the computer companies before they left, and they're south of San Jose, see?
All right. Well, you have contributed
I have no intention of getting off this thing about the carriers. I mean, one could be a high school, one could be a prison, you know, one could be a fishing wharf.
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I don't understand why we have to have a carrier. Why can't we just take the plant off the carrier and house it somewhere else?
Exactly, but, you know, we've got this nuclear-free zone. We don't want that type of material in here. And even if we went with the conventional ones where you're not, you know, making 500,000 gallons of water an hour, you're only making 72,000 gallons of water an hour. And by the way, for anybody that's out there, you know, doing the math part, it's like 3 hours worth and you got 1 cubic acre foot of water. So, you know, it can be done out there. It should be done out there. Not only can we use the salt water, turn that into fresh water, we could use the wind that comes out there and have our windmills and all. You know, there's so much stuff that you can do with that stuff that, you know, these people. Charles, do you want to tell us how much you make a year? You know, soaking these farmers out here for all the money that they're paying for growing crops?
I don't mind disclosing my salary. It's a matter of public record. It's just $100,000 plus or minus a little bit.
Well, hell, I'll do it for $25,000. How's that?
Okay.
And we won't
move
charge,
on.
And we
time
won't charge,
to move on. We got
yeah,
a lot.
But we won't charge anybody anything.
Richard, thank you very much. That goes Richard N. Watsonville. Here comes our next caller, Bruce in Brookdale. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special. Bruce, you're on the air.
Hi, Mike. See, I want to make a point, but before that, I'd like to ask a question. This fee sounds like a tax to me. And the reason I think it's a tax is if you don't pay it, I think in 5 years, they can take your property. Is that right?
Is that true, Richard? Because, I mean, Charles, I was going to ask, what happens if I don't pay this, what is now a past due statement? What happens to me or my property? Will it be leaned and will it
be
sold to the
state? We do have an ability to put a lien on a property. We've not yet done that.
Uh-huh.
We do have some litigation that's in place. And certainly there are those who share the caller's view that this is something other than a user fee, as the agency believes it to be, and in fact, we're litigating that right now.
And we didn't get an answer to this question, probably because I jumped on to the next question before giving you a chance to answer. Hold on, Bruce. Why is it that this fee that used to be on my tax bill is now broken out on a separate bill? Why is that?
Yeah, over the course of the 10 years or 11 years that we've been collecting this charge, the laws have changed. Proposition 218 was voted in.
What is Prop 218?
That sort of adds and complexifies the ways that fees and charges are categorized and approved. So in any case, when we first, it became clear as we got into litigation that our position is that this is a user fee. User fee should not be collected on the tax roll, and the historical evolution was such that we recognized, and the county recognized at a certain point, that it was inappropriate to be collecting this tax on the tax roll. The county collects a lot of stuff, as you know, if you look at your tax bill, as a convenience to special districts. So we agreed with the county to be consistent with our position that this is a user fee, that it should be billed directly.
If it would have continued to be, because I would suggest make life a whole lot easier if you just bury it on the tax bill again like it used to be.
Well, that's, I mean, that was why we went that way in the first place, of course, because it is easier to collect it. And, you know, when we started in 1994, that was not really an issue.
Uh-huh.
But then it became more so.
Would it be correct to say that it was illegal to collect, or it became illegal to collect?
You know, I'm not a lawyer, and it certainly is imprudent, and, you know, I think it's certainly challengeable, had we continued to.
Right. So is that what's going on with this litigation right now? Is anybody challenged
well, the
fact
litigation
that so much of this, that what has been called a fee, which Bruce is suggesting is in actuality a tax. And if it was a tax, I don't remember that any of us were invited to vote for or against that tax. So I guess where we're going with this is it possible that we could all be looking at rebates?
Theoretically it's possible. And I think the legal position is we've been through a trial court so far on this issue, and the trial court has agreed with the agency 100%. That's not to say that when we get to the Court of Appeal, which is where it goes next, that the decision will be the same.
Where was the trial court? Was it here in
Santa Cruz County Superior Court?
Who was the judge?
Stevens.
Sam Stevens?
Yeah.
Okay. Bruce, didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's okay.
Any further questions?
The point I wanted to make is kind of opposite to this. And I'd like to rattle on for probably less than a minute because I have to develop
it. Go for it.
Okay. Now, you don't own the water underneath you. It's the aquifer, and it's everybody's aquifer. You can't pollute the air above you. You don't own the air. You can't pollute the water below you because it's going to move. If I have a well that's 600 feet deep and you have a well that's 200 feet deep and I overpump and your well dries up, you can take me to court. And that's not a new law. That's an ancient law.
Okay.
So you don't have an absolute right to the water underneath you. However, as far as a fee goes, here's what I think. People pay a lot of money for water these days because of the water treatment. Now the county or the agency has to pump the water, they have to treat the water, they have to distribute the water. So if you're doing your own pumping and your own treating and your own distribution, that should be deducted from any water bill. And I, as far as I'm concerned, anything other than reasonable use is what you should pay for. But if you have a house or something like that and you're doing all the pumping yourself and all the treatment and everything, and you just say, have a house, or you have a farm and you're not wasting water, then I don't think you should have to pay a fee unless it's over a certain amount.
Now, that sounds reasonable, but it would also make it necessary for everybody to have a meter.
Well, it's going to happen, Mike. Look, I bought a piece of property 25 years ago, 6 acres on top of a mountain. It was 1,120 feet in elevation. I could see Monterey. In 3 years, the well went dry because everybody that comes into the county uses water. Every new citizen pulls water out of the aquifer. And so the aquifer went from where I was, a 320-foot well, it dried up, and I'm not sure if I could find water again. So who do I see about that? All these other people that came in are taking my water. I used to have water, now I don't. So where's the fairness there?
Okay. I'm happy you called.
Okay.
I do appreciate it. There goes Bruce in Brookdale. It's AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. It is 21 minutes before 11 a.m., our special guest is Charles McNeese, General Manager of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. We're talking water and rules and rights and charges today. Give us a call if you want to participate. We have open lines. Well, we now have one open line at 479-1080. We have other open lines at 477-1340. We've got a fax line at 475-2967. And we have an email address, mz@ksco.com. If you want to shoot me an email, we will bring that up on the computer here in just a minute so that we should be able to see what you want to say here electronically via cyberspace. Our next caller will be Harold Griffith. Is this the Harold Griffith?
What does that mean?
Well,
is there more than one besides me and my dad and my grandfather?
Okay, well, you're the... Okay, all right. Welcome to the KSCO Saturday Special, Harold. What's up?
Well, the last caller, Bruce, made a very good point, I think, that he is entitled to a reasonable use of his water, and that's from reading these different cases that I've read. You know, one is called the City of Barstow versus the Mojave Valley Water, the Mojave Water Agency. The Supreme Court almost said exactly what Charles said earlier, that you don't own the water underneath your property, but you do have an overlying right to use it.
Without paying somebody else.
Right,
that right?
But that's
not what this is anyhow. This is an augmentation fee.
I know, but the problem when you get into water rights is it's a little bit complicated, and what Bruce was saying seems to be the same position as some of the people who filed this lawsuit. They're called the Cardoza plaintiffs, and they said that they had a right to use the historical rights, water rights, on their property because they were not contributing to the demise of the aquifer, and it looks like the California Supreme Court agreed with them. But that hasn't really been addressed by PV Water, that people could use the historical amount that they were using before the overdraft occurred. That hasn't been litigated. I'm not really sure. I know that they probably talked about it because I've heard different people talking about it, but I don't know how formal the discussions were. The other things I would like to talk about is Charles said at the beginning that the PV Water is a special district, and I agree with him. But the California Constitution, Article 13A, Section 4, says that special districts cannot impose ad valorem taxes, but they can impose special taxes by a two-thirds vote of the people. So it seems to me like the management fee falls under that. It's a special tax, and we should have had a vote on it. Article 13.
You're talking about the $18. It is still on everybody's tax.
Exactly.
When it
was instituted in 1985, it's not Charles' fault. I don't think he was there then. But McCabe was there then, I think,
Let's blame him, because he's not here to defend himself.
It seems to me like that, you know, Article 13A was enacted by the people in 1978, so it was effective during this period that he's talking about in 1985. So that's one little $18 charge that's still on your property tax bill. And this user fee, what I think is that the user fee should also be voted on by the people.
I think so too.
That's a different thing because that was enacted by the people in 1996, and these charges have been changed since then.
Right.
So there are some kinds of fees that you don't have to have voted on, like regulatory fees, where they regulate something. They don't have to have a vote of those. But we haven't had any court guidance on that yet. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like
Harold,
when they pass
Harold,
a law,
Harold,
it takes years for them to say
Harold,
exactly
where
what
are
it means.
You? Where are you, Harold?
Where am I?
Yeah.
I'm in Watsonville. I just got a bill for this $72,
okay.
too.
Are you going to pay it, or have you paid it?
I paid it, but I don't like it.
Nobody likes it, but are you beginning to feel like a fool that you paid it, that's a good question.
Well, yes and no. Because when you pay a tax, I think you have 3 years to challenge the validity of that tax by going to court. So, if you don't pay it, then what? It just makes a different kind of a mess. So
I'm trying to figure out whether I should pay this or not. And when I first talked to Charles 2 or 3 months ago, when I first got the bill, he said, look, I assume this is what you tell everybody because it's the truth here, that you've been paying this bill all along. It's just been on your property tax. So
yeah.
I didn't want to take your word for it. I wanted to go and check my past property tax. I didn't get around to doing that until yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah.
Indeed it's there, although it does change every year.
Yeah.
So,
but still, I think you have 3 years from the date of your last payment of a tax to challenge it in court. And the other thing is that from my understanding, they're only charging people like you and me, Michael, they're only charging us 1/6 of an acre foot. And I thought that the charge per acre foot was $120. You divide that by 6, then that means that
60%.
The number that they're charging us should be 20.
Yeah, 60%.
That works out. 120 times 60% is 72.
Yeah. Talk closer to the microphone, if you would, please. So, okay. So, Harold?
Yeah.
So, you paid it. I want to hear from people who have received this bill and who have not paid it, and who, if they're going to pay it or not. I mean, it's easy. The easiest thing to do is just to pay it, especially since I've been paying it. But damn it, it's the principle of the thing. And I have to decide whether the principle of the thing is strong enough for me to want to resist paying this lousy $72 bill.
And in the long run, if you resist, you're going to have to figure out if you want to pay a lawyer to go to court or if you want to do it yourself.
Uh-huh.
That's the problem.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. There goes Harold Griffith in Watsonville. Now, let's go to Robert in Santa Cruz. By the way, we have Mark in Watsonville. Both Robert and... We have a great new phone system here at KFCO that has smiling faces or straight mouth faces or frowning faces and hollering faces. Now, Robert, apparently, let's see if this is right here. Let's see if the call screener has accurately sized up Robert in Santa Cruz and Mark in Watsonville, both of which have just straight faces. They're not smiling. They're not frowning or anything. But Doug in Watsonville is yelling and screaming. So let's see. Let's take Robert next here. Robert in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on the KFCO special.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, guest, about surface water. I have a 5-acre parcel in Boulder Creek. And I have a grandfathered water right to it. It's in my deed. It says that I have a water right to this little it's an above ground spring. It's a like a little it's a spring, I guess, and it comes down there. There's a lot of water goes down there, and it, of course, eventually drops down into the San Lorenzo River. If I was to tap into that, if I was to put a holding tank there and pump some water to my prop, you know, to where I wanted it, would I have a problem with that?
Well, you're not in the jurisdiction of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency.
Pardon me?
You're not in the jurisdiction of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency, so that's certainly... That's not an issue.
So the answer to your question is no.
Well, I mean, I think your question is more just generally water rights type of question, and I probably am not the best one to answer that.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, all right. Yeah, but the other thing I wanted to ask you was, you're a water guy.
Yes.
You're totally into water in every way, and you're involved with the bureaucracy in the state of California.
And to be honest, he has gills.
He has gills?
He does have gills. Yeah, I noticed a sort of a...
Uh-huh, he's blowing bubbles as we speak, right? What I wanted to ask you was, it was my understanding that California has a water czar that has issued edicts to all of the districts throughout every county in the state to basically do everything in their power to totally confiscate all water and completely control all the water in California, regardless of who owns it or who doesn't own it. Now, is that true or false?
He needs to contact my agency. I haven't heard from him.
I need to contact your agency?
No, he does. This czar. I've not heard of such a thing.
You've never heard of such a thing?
There's no one that's contacted my agency.
No one has contacted your agency?
I don't know who that czar would be. We have two departments that are responsible for water in California. There's the California State Water Resources Control Board, which has a more regulatory purpose. Then we have the California Department of Water Resources, which has a more management scientific type of purpose.
But don't you think it would make sense? California people are just pouring into this state, continue to pour here regardless of real estate prices, and there's only so much water. And if the snowpack in the Sierras is limited, if we don't get any snow up there, for instance, then a lot of these aquifers start to get dry up, the reservoirs start to dry up. To me, it seems to me that it's almost imperative that they gain total control of the water in this state. Not that I want them to, but I'm just saying that, doesn't that seem logical to you?
No, I do think I will agree with you that we have a very severe water shortage, that it gets worse every year. It's statewide. Certainly we have it throughout our central coast area here too. I'm not sure that, no, I don't agree that the solution is for state control. I think local control, the types of, just if you look at our Monterey Bay area, you look from Santa Cruz going down to the Carmel Valley, there are different water solutions. Each one of us has a water supply problem that we need to solve, but our solutions, each one of them is quite unique, and different type of solution is appropriate in each case.
All right. Well, call. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. That was Robert in Santa Cruz. Before we go to Mark in Watsonville and Doug in Watsonville, it's time to take a commercial break on your favorite radio station. It's AM 1080 KSCO. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Stay with us. There's a lot more ahead.
2004 Greater Bay Bank, NA member, FDIC, equal housing lender.
Once upon a time in a bank.
So, what do you think of my construction project?
Well, Mr. Thompson, we've looked at your application and checked your credit, but...
Yes?
Headquarters back east gave us strict guidelines on commercial loans, and your project just isn't big enough. You see, we're not interested in wasting time on little projects. We're a...
national bank.
But this is my great project, my biggest yet!
When your bank treats your project like small potatoes, go to Coast Commercial Bank. Coast Commercial Bank is local people providing loans and banking solutions for local businesses, large and small. And we've proudly served Santa Cruz County for nearly a quarter century. Whether you need a construction loan or a checking account, we're in business for your business. Come to Coast Commercial Bank. Still, local people, local money, local bank. Coast Commercial Bank.
Hi, it's MZ. You know, being in the radio business here at KSCO, I gotta tell you, there's never a dull moment. There's controversy, there's emotion, there's news, there's information. We discuss and bring to light issues, we have fun, we get silly, we get angry, but above all, we try to make a positive difference in the lives of our listeners. What I really want you to know about is one particular person who has made a truly positive difference in our lives here at KSCO. That would be Dennis, the owner and team captain of Day and Night Computer. We depend on computers for everything at KSCO. Dennis and his intimate family of high-tech professionals has made it possible for this station to grow and flourish as it never has before. Why? Because he and his crew are competent, attentive, fast, no-nonsense, and truly interested in solving your computer problems, whatever they are, right now, and without ripping you off or making your job a career. Call Dennis at 465-7340 if you want a quick and clean fix to your computer-related problem, and tell him MZ sent you. While you're at it, you'll probably make a new friend. Call Dennis at Day and Night Computer, 465-7340.
There's nothing like a cozy fire on a cold winter night, but if everyone in the neighborhood has the same idea, air quality can suffer. This winter, make a sensible choice and burn Duraflame fire logs. Duraflame logs only produce a third of the emissions of cordwood, light easily without kindling, and provide hours of relaxing, colorful flames. Look for the Duraflame Extra Time, Crackle Flame, and Festive Color Logs at Deluxe Foods in Aptos, Star Market in Salinas, and Johnny's in Boulder Creek. Do your part for clean air. Burn Duraflame logs. Tonight.
Buying a home around here is an expensive proposition. Hi, I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. I've been helping people save money on home loans for nearly 20 years, and I'd like to help you save money on your next home purchase. Right now, Pacific Inland has special programs that are helping people save real money when they buy a home. Call Pacific Inland at 831-475-2600, and we'll tailor one of these programs to help you buy a home. That's Pacific Inland at 475-2600, licensed by the California Department of Real Estate.
MZ here with a great holiday gift idea and a wonderful deal for you. Now pay attention, you're going to like this. Vitali Ultimate Juice is probably one of the most thoughtful, healthful, and classiest gifts you can give anyone, and your favorite radio station is running a healthy holiday special for the month of December. For every bottle of Vitali you purchase and pick up from KSCO, you will receive a free bottle of Cherry Mins or Herbal Rainforest. This is truly an amazing deal, and it is our way of introducing you to this unique, great-tasting dietary supplement with the highest ORAC value of any whole food juice product on the market. Vitali is loaded with antioxidants, which are compounds that have been shown to slow the aging process by quenching free radicals in the body. Remember, free radicals are bad, antioxidants are good, and Vitali is a special formula of powerful, concentrated antioxidants that taste wonderful. Rich liquid Vitali comes in an attractive 32-ounce bottle that looks like a bottle of fine wine, a work of art for only $36.50 wholesale. But wait till you taste it. You'll be astonished that anything that tastes so good can be so good for you. At this great deal, you should buy a load of Vitali and give a bottle of it to everyone important to you. To get Vitali and your free bonus product, call Santa Jose Novo at KSCO 475-1080 and he will arrange to fix you right up. Remember, call KSCO at 475-1080 and ask for Santa Jose Novo, if for no other reason, just for the health of it.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
and I will certainly drink to that. We only are interested in intelligent people listening to our radio station. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's 5 minutes before 11 a.m. AM 1080 KSU, your favorite station. MZ on the Saturday special with special guest, Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency General Manager Charles McNeish. We're talking about water. Let's go to Mark in Watsonville, who's been waiting quite a long time. Then we're going to go to Doug in Watsonville and see what you guys have to say. Mark, you're on.
Yeah, the local farmers been paying what's been called an augmentation fee for 10 years on their wells as the well metering. But I don't understand what has been augmented. There has been no additional water sources brought on. There's been a lot of money put into this, but as far as a benefit back to the farmers, I see zero. What I'm afraid of, what I see being augmented is the ability of the city of Watsonville to annex surrounding farmland and build high, ultra-high density housing, such as they did out on the Franich property where we have five-story apartment complexes, which is what they're doing in the Overlook Center towards the slough, and now which they want to do on 350 acres on Buena Vista Road on the north side of the airport. They want to build a city of 10,000 people. So this is going from some of it open land, some of it low-use apple orchard.
Has Watsonville become the housing dumping ground of Santa Cruz County?
Well, certainly the development area, but you got a city of 10,000 coming in, and so you, me, the farmers, and everyone, we're paying this augmentation fee to allow this to happen, even though a lot of us aren't really happy with the prospect of a city of 100,000 people down here. But I'm afraid that the Pajaro Valley Water Management is the willing tool of the city of Watsonville to bring this about, and they're using us as the bank to go to fund this process.
Well, okay, there was a pregnant pause there.
Well, like I said, you know, you look at the Franich property, which was apple orchards, 100 acres of apple orchards. Now I believe there's about 5,000 people living on it. The usage of the water has gone up exponentially there. And then, you remember, ag use is recycled. It goes back into the ground where this industrial, this housing, this residential, commercial usage goes down to the sewage treatment plant and out into the ocean.
Michael's motioning for me to jump in, and I was kind of waiting patiently there. A couple of points. First, the augmentation charge. Let me just give a little bit of background. The whole purpose of this charge is, put simply, collectively, we're overpumping our groundwater basin. We either need to cut back our pumping collectively drastically to have a balanced basin, to have our groundwater recharge equal our pumping withdrawals, or we need to develop additional supplies. The augmentation charge is going to pay to develop the additional supplies so we can have a balanced basin. That's the purpose. Your statement, Mark, that not one dropper or something to that effect has been, that's not true. We've constructed a project. We've got some other the construction in place. We've got the final design either complete or underway for all the rest of the project facilities. This project schedule is to have these facilities constructed in the next 3-4 years.
And well, that's not the pipeline over to San Luis Reservoir.
Oh, absolutely it is.
But that you've been told by Fresno County you are not going to buy water rights in Fresno County and remove that water from Fresno County to the detriment of that county's agriculture. And now the outgoing Secretary of Agriculture of the United States, Ann Veneman, has basically stated the same thing. So, and you know, I'm not saying this is good or this is bad. I'm just saying you guys got problems down the road that's going to prevent this from happening.
Well, I mean, I think any public works type of project faces problems that's being implemented. The import water supply solution is much more complex than you portray it. I am confident that we are on track to have the import supplies that we need.
Can I finish
where I was going?
Sure, I'm sorry.
You've got to both finish in the next 20 seconds because we're going to the news.
Okay, I guess the other point is City of Watsonville. Maybe we should come back to that one.
Yeah, can I say that the farmers here are laser leveling, drip irrigation, organic augmentation to the ground. They're doing a lot of things to cut back water usage, but you're giving the City of Watsonville a blank check for unlimited supplies for their future development.
Thank you, Mark, for your call to the Saturday special. It's 11 a.m.
800.
The world is that, ladies and gentlemen. What is going on? There are gremlins coming through the radio station. Anyhow, I think we've gotten control I think we've gotten control back. Are we on? Okay, we're on, and I'm operating it from here. So what I'm going to do is start hour number two the way it's supposed to be started, ladies and gentlemen, okay?
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Welcome to hour number two of the Saturday special. We're talking about water and water wells and water charges. And one man's been waiting a long time. We're going to put him up pretty quickly here.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really got to go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
Okay, a special message to the pilot in command, Aaron Bond. Aaron, I know you're on the phone, but I think that we've solved the problem. Somebody had pushed the KSCO to the transmitter button in here, and it was no, maybe not. Anyhow, you're ready to do the UN editorial from Kay right now. If you can bring that up, you have to punch it up, and push your KSCO to the transmitter button. Okay, yeah. And that should do it. All right?
This is a KSCO commentary. Here's Kay's whirling.
Human relationships are always complicated. There is one area, however, where human interaction is predictable, yet that aspect is often avoided or overlooked. If one is asked by a good friend to lend him some money, if able, he would say, "Of course." Initially, the borrower's reaction is gratitude, followed by a sense of discomfort and indebtedness. After a while, he may feel irritation, disdain, and finally, avoidance. At this point, the lender thinks, maybe it would have been wiser for him to say no to the friend's request, in which case their friendship may not have gone sour. Wasn't it Portia in one of Shakespeare's plays who, while teaching a student about pitfalls in human relationships, advised him to, quote, "neither a lender nor a borrower be," unquote. These wise observations fit snugly in the interactions between the U.S. and the U.N. In 1945, after the last World War, 51 countries called the United Nations joined forces to again try to avoid further wars and other global issues. Everyone involved were full of hope and eager to find common ground. The U.S. built a beautiful high-rise in New York City for the U.N. The membership has grown to over 100 countries, and we have been the host nation for the past 60 years. Each country has one vote, while the U.S. continues to be the largest benefactor, paying 22% of all the U.N. expenses. Countries with a fraction of our size and population have the same voting power. Inequitable? Yes, but we, the U.S., allowed that to exist. Do our fellow members like us? Absolutely not. At first, 60 years ago, there was gratitude and respect for our generosity and hospitality. Before long, those feelings began to turn into entitlement, disrespect, arrogance, and finally, overt contempt. Most U.S. proposals are vetoed. The United Nations has been corrupt and impotent, and the U.S. continues to pay most of the expenses. It's like throwing money down a rat hole. Like the League of Nations, the UN is another failed experiment. It has been the enabler for the horrendous oil-for-food scandal. About Kofi Annan, regardless of the outcome of this foolish investigation, where the corrupt UN is investigating itself, Kofi should smell the coffee and gracefully resign, because he allowed the scandal to happen on his watch. World opinion likes to position the U.S. as a bully and aggressor. The exact opposite is true. Blessed with abundant resources and abundant compassion, we have always tried to help the needy and the oppressed. After World War II, we actually rebuilt the conquered lands of Germany and Japan, the enemies who initiated the wars against us. Now they are both democracies. Are they appreciative? Japan, maybe. Germany, no. The United Nations, at long last, has worn out its welcome here in the U.S. It's time for it to leave and instead go leech on France or Germany or Russia. And maybe we should seriously consider resigning from the U.N. and instead help create a League of Democracies, because democracies and dictatorships together don't seem to agree on anything. Finally, kudos to those fed-up Americans who are working to evict the United Nations from our country. They may be reached at MoveAmericaForward.org. For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay Swirling.
And kudos to Kay Swirling, another killer editor commentary here. Wonderful. Couldn't agree with any word more than I do. Great job, Mom. 429-2222 is a phone number you can and should call if you have comments or suggestions about KSCO. We'd love to hear from you. 429-2222. That is our comment line. You're listening to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. We have Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency General Manager Charles McNeish as our guest for another 15 minutes or so. He's going to have to duck out at 11:30 because he has another engagement. We appreciate that he took the time to come and explain the facts of life to us here. If you want to give us a call, our phone numbers are 479-1080 or 477-1340. We're going to go to Doug in Watsonville, who I said earlier was angry because of the little smiling man that wasn't smiling. He was frowning, but more accurately described as eye-rolling Doug, I guess, okay? So let's put eye-rolling Doug on the air here. Welcome him to KSCO. Thanks for waiting for 30-something minutes.
No problem. Thank you, and good morning, Michael.
Hey, good morning.
And good morning to you, Charlie. This morning. Is your good old friend, Doug McKinney.
I recognize your voice, Doug.
I knew you would, Charlie. I think we should forget the legality of these water charges this morning and let them be settled by the three litigations that are now being contested in the courts. My reason...
Agree. There, we've at least got one point of agreement, Doug.
Okay. My reason for calling this morning is to let listeners know how the PVWMA is spending their money. Just two quick examples of the spending over the past 2 months. The agency paid legal fees in October for a total of $96,200. And engineering fees of $1,097,000. In November, legal costs were $121,000, and engineering costs were $692,560. This is important to note because the contractor for the main portions of the basin management plan, the contracts themselves, have not been issued. And the total spending for October was $1,400,000. And for November, $1,283,000. These figures don't even include the payroll costs of the agency. I think it's important that people start attending these water board meetings and taking a good close look at how their agency is operating with their money.
May I respond?
Please.
Yeah, the payroll costs are small relative to the consultant costs. People should understand, I think I mentioned earlier, that we are in final design on these projects. Engineering design for a $150 million project is expensive. It's in the tens of millions of dollars. That's why your rates are going up, because we're paying for the design and we're in construction on certain components of the project, and we'll be in...
The design costs are in the tens of millions of dollars?
Not tens of millions, but $10 million. For a $150 million project, yeah, it's in a 10%, some large fractional cost of the overall That includes right-of-way acquisition.
Wow.
That's an expensive property. It's an expensive undertaking.
If you're talking about real estate acquisition, I can understand how costly.
Well, but the real estate is the smaller part. There are many complicated issues to work through in terms of the engineering, crossing rivers, they're just complicated issues. So I think Doug's numbers are accurate. I think his alarmism is misplaced. That's what it costs to build a project.
Okay. Doug, did you have some?
Yes, I did. It appears to me that, and I've been following this since 1997 very closely, and as Charlie will can attest, I've been to most every water board meeting that's been held, and to me, the exorbitant costs for legal fees of this agency are just astounding, because with the kind of money that this agency puts out every month to various legal firms, they could have an in-house staff of lawyers for less money.
Did you ever think of that, Charlie?
Legal fees are expensive, and it is painful to pay them. Litigation is expensive. That's part of getting the job done.
Yeah, well, your litigation fees, it seems like in November, like $56,000, but then you had other legal fees to go to your in-house counsel of $24,000, and you have, I don't know, is Hanna & Associates, is that a legal firm that's handling the right-of-way procurements for you?
No.
Huh?
No, that's the appraiser for the property.
Oh, okay. He's an appraiser. All right. But it seems to me...
No, I think Doug's point, and I will agree, this is an expensive project. This is anytime you talk about a $150 million project, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money for our small community to pay. I think all of us that are associated with the agency, from the board of directors to every staff member to every consultant that works for us, understands that it's an expensive project, that people who that live in our area that are required to pay these charges, that's painful, and that we have a duty to deliver a product as cost-effective as we can. We take that mission very seriously. But it costs money to get there.
I want to know if there's anybody listening to this program who has a well that has been intruded by salt water. I've been hearing for years that there's this salt water intrusion, which is the big ogre, that's this big boogeyman. And I have no reason to doubt that that's true, but I want to put it out. A lot of people are listening now, presumably, and if someone who is listening who has a well that is producing salt water would call, I would appreciate it. 479-1080.
We have the project components that are constructed right now are serving a number of farms along Beach Road and Dairy Road that have no usable well because of salt water intrusion. Their only source of water is the water that our agency provides. That's the first step in phasing out this construction that's needed. Now, let me just make the point, if I can. I don't think I made it before. These charges that you're talking about, these augmentation charges, clearly, it's painful to have to pay them. But what we're paying for is a water project that fixes a problem that we're collectively causing right now. And if we're not willing to make the investment in solving that problem right now, it's just going to get passed on to our children that are going to have to pay for it. It's going to be more expensive then. It's tough to pay for it.
Can I jump in and make a couple of quick points before Charlie has to go?
Quick points. Go ahead.
Okay. Early on in the conversation, Mr. McNeish mentioned that the way they keep track of the overdraft is by measuring the wells. Well, it seems to me if you go back and look at these things, they're measuring these wells in March of the year when the recharge has been very high, and then all of a sudden the second measuring of the wells is done in the end of the year. It's about the end of September or so, after all of the water has been used for irrigation, and so of course you're going to have giant fluctuations in these wells.
Doug, here, but your statement is just wrong. We measure all during the course of the year, and we compare March to March and August to August. Our work is reviewed by top scientists in the state and federal government. A suggestion that we're somehow mixing that up is just completely mistaken.
Well, the other point I had was fleeting now, so I'll let it go at that. But I will be paying attention, and I will be coming to the meetings, Charlie.
Okay, I expect to see you.
Okay.
This is very
have a good weekend.
Okay, well, it's 11:23 on AM 1080 KSCO. It's a Saturday special, Talking Water, with Powder Valley Water Management Agency General Manager Charles McNeish, and you, the callers. Who is next? Well, I think that would be our friend Pat in Santa Cruz. Pat, you're on the air on the KSCO Saturday special.
Good morning, Michael.
Hey there.
Well, I don't want to be predictable, but there is a reason why we're short of water.
Too many people.
I don't understand why we're adults. We say we can do anything we want to do, but as soon as this subject comes up, instead of discussing it, you get mad at me for bringing it up. That's shooting the messenger if I ever did hear it. Now, the fact
Did I get mad at you?
Well, you do from time to time. You call me one-trick pony and as though, you know, I'm off topic, but let's face it, we wouldn't be here if we weren't overpopulated. We'd be, with the water situation, it'd be fine, and we wouldn't be doing these desperation moves that get increasingly
yes.
more invasive and more desperate and less sustainable and more unsatisfactory. And we're just starting to see how bad things are going to get. I mean, California is in for a monstrous population explosion beyond the one we've already had. I mean, how come we can't deal with that? We just act like that's something that can't be controlled. Like this is, the sun's going to go nova in 5 billion years. We can't do anything about it, so let's plan for it. No, that's not the way this is. We can turn this around. All we need is the will. This is the most technologically...
All we need is the well.
Cute. We don't have the will. We need the well, not the well. I mean, the well would be there if we had the will.
All right.
And, you know, you take my call graciously. I appreciate that. You took me in, you know, right as I came up. Appreciate that, too. But that's what we need to be talking about. And as soon as I hang up, you guys are going to go back and talk about the symptoms of this instead of getting to the core problem. That's what, you know, how are we going to stop this population growth? Well, we know 100% of it's coming from immigration. That's one good place to start right there, the people that tell us that that's, as, you know, a fate like the sun going nova in 5 billion years, so we better plan for it. That's crazy talk, too. We can fix that real quick if we chose to, but we're letting the open borders lobby intimidate us into just simply opening
because
the border
even further.
Because both
the Democrats and the Republicans see that as the next way to get elected.
Well,
you know,
I got a lot of problems with the Republicans, but if I hear somebody that understands that we need to protect our own borders and not interfere with other countries' borders, that's a darn good reason to vote for them.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for calling the Saturday special. That was Population Pat in Santa Cruz. Now let's go to Santa Cruz Mike, also in Santa Cruz. Hello, Santa Cruz Mike.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good, good, good. What do you got for us today?
These politicians are slick, aren't they? Hey, you know...
Wait a minute. Is Charles a politician?
He's an empire builder. He's an empire builder, like all our government officials. We have a simple solution here.
You were hired by the government. You're not. You didn't run for anything.
No, I'm not an elected official. I'm.
Listen, you go there and you do what you're told to do, or you're not going to keep your job. And there's some elected official somewhere that's appointing you or got their finger on you, because that's the way our government works. Listen, there's a simple solution. We've used all of these obscure laws and zoning restrictions to stop building and expand growth in Santa Cruz. Well, if water is really that serious of an issue, which I believe it is, we should start tomorrow doing everything in our hand to do what? No new residential construction. No new housing. No new businesses come into that water district that are going to consume extra water, excessive water, and we start using restrictive agricultural practices so we can get this water bill back up. Just pumping it from one place to another is not going to solve the problem. It defers the consequences for another 5 to 10 years.
You know, Santa Cruz Mike has a point, Charles.
Well, and I agree with him. He has a point. We have really two basic solutions to a water problem like the one we confront with. We either cut back our usage to what is sustainable based on what Mother Nature provides, or we develop additional supplies to
there are no additional supplies. That's the problem.
No, that's not true. We have
it is true. There's not all we're doing is deferring the consequences.
With all due respect, we do have an ocean that can be out there desalinated for those who can afford it.
So why aren't we doing that?
For in our case, we have recycled water within our jurisdiction that we can recycle and reuse, and that is part of our plan to do that.
But wait a minute, why aren't we doing it now, though?
Well, it's...
You're working on plans that are going to take 5, 10, 20, 30 years.
Well,
there's things we can do right now in months.
Well, there are, but those are not going to meet the overall magnitude of the shortage that we have. I mean, there's this...
But wait a minute, it doesn't matter. We start doing little incremental things. Tomorrow, we say no more new residential construction. We just cut it off. Well, we say no more. We can't justify it. Why does Scotts Valley have a continuing growing population when they have less and less water?
Well, I'm not here to talk about Scotts Valley, but just let me make a statement of how it's being approached within our water jurisdiction area. The basic plan is we're going to pay for the project with the augmentation charge and the other charges that fixes the existing problem that there is right now. Could I finish what I'm saying, please? The concept is that we'll use those charges to pay for the current problem. Then there is going to be an additional charge, a supplemental charge that will be levied against new users, including the city of Watsonville. This ties back to the discussion that was being paid earlier. Those additional charges will pay to develop additional supplies so that there will be a balance in place and that those new users are not going to be carried by the existing users. Those new users will pay their own fair share for the additional impacts that they have. I mean, that's
so
the rational approach.
So how many more wells are going to have salt in them, and how many more wells are going to run dry before all of this actually takes effect?
There will be some. The faster we can progress with the project implementation, the fewer there will be.
Why don't we do it the easy way? Let's start with the easy things. No more construction.
Let's have
restrictive water use laws. Let's say, okay, if you have three people in a house, you don't need to flush the toilet 50 times a day.
No, I'm agreeing with you that would be a possible solution.
But why don't we do it, though? That's so simple.
There's a board of directors in our case that evaluates the options. There are pros and cons with the different choices. I mean, there isn't one right answer to this, but the decision that our board of directors has made through an extended decade-long public process is to proceed with a suite of projects.
So for 10 years, we've known about this problem, and we're not doing what could really make a huge difference. Why wasn't construction cut off 10 years ago? It's like we know, you know, Population Pat's right about this. We know what the consequences are. We know what's going to happen. We see it all over the West Coast in California, particularly in L.A. Water problem of huge consequences. States and water districts are fighting over the water. They're going the law over the water. And yet the things that we could do the easiest and the simplest and implement very quickly, we're not doing.
Now, I agree with you. It's frustrating. It takes frustratingly long to get anything done.
It's funny. You guys would hire a lawyer in a minute to take someone's property to build a water pipe on them, but you won't hire a lawyer to sue these cities to make them do what they need to do to restrict water.
Ah, now we're getting into the meat of it.
Let's talk about it.
Unfortunately, Charles has to leave.
Now, that sounds bad, but Michael did say that I do have a witching hour of 11:30.
I had to say that. I couldn't resist. Santa Cruz Mike, please call the radio station right after the Saturday special so I can talk to you for a minute, if you can, please.
Talk to you later, dude.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. It's 11:30. Listen, I have in the next half hour, I guess I don't need to decide this in the next half. Do I need to decide whether I'm going to pay this bill or fight it, like fighting a ticket? I don't have to, but I just sort of want to.
Let me just make the case for why you should pay it.
Okay.
If I can.
Yeah, please. But talk closer to the microphone.
Excuse me. The fees that are collected here, this charge is going to pay for the water projects that will develop the supplies that we can have a groundwater system that is protected, well-managed, sustainable for the future generations. You know, without paying this charge, we're going to continue to overdraft the groundwater aquifer. It's going to lead to lawsuits between water users over who can pump how much water. It's going to
God, you make me feel ashamed for even thinking about not paying it. Well, let me ask you this. Do you take a major credit card so I can at least get the airline miles?
You have to talk to our billing department. I honestly don't. I suspect we do.
Oh, okay. I'm leaning towards paying it. What I don't want to do, I don't want to continue something that frightens me. I don't want the audience to think I'm, you know, a paranoid fringe lunatic or something, but if I felt that paying this was perpetuating something that I think is real dangerous and precedent setting, as in paying for my own water, and you've corrected me, you're saying it's not my own water, never has been. Wow, and I haven't heard anybody else do anything but back you up on this program, which I've got to say is surprising. So it's sort of what you say sounds pretty reasonable to me. So I think I'm going to pay this past due. Would you knock off the past due charges? Well, it's still past due, but I mean, you know, wouldn't you say there's been at least $1.08 worth of positive publicity for this program?
I'll tell you what, I'll pay it for you.
Okay. All right. All right, Charles McNeish, pleasure to have you on the radio. I'm sure we're going to be talking more about it. If something is said that pushes your button while you're listening on the radio heading over the hill, you got a cell phone, you can call in, presumably.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for being with us. Charles McNeish, General Manager of the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency. And I want to thank you for being here. And there's about close to another half hour to go on the Saturday special. What's this? What's this? There's serial caller, and it's not serial faxer. Okay, if it's not serial faxer that's on, then we'll take the call, but not until after we've taken Tom's call in Watsonville, because he's been on hold for 22 minutes and 39 seconds. So let's take Tom in Watsonville. Hello,
hey,
Tom.
How you doing? Hey, I think you don't jump to conclusions here. I think you're making the wrong mistake in assuming you should pay that, because
the wrong mistake.
I mean, you're making a mistake.
Wrong decision.
Wrong decision. And the issue here is that the fact of the matter is, according to the Mojave decision of the California State Supreme Court, you own the water in your well.
Well, why didn't you call when Charles was still here?
Yeah, I was on hold for 23 minutes.
You're right, it's my fault. Excuse me. Yeah, I'm sorry.
And that's why there's three cases. It's being litigated. The augmentation fee, there's real problems with Prop 218. It sets a dangerous precedent if they do get away with this in terms of going around Prop 218. So the other thing we've got to be careful of, Charlie continually uses the word collective, okay? There is no collective ownership of the water. There's no collective management of the water. And until the basin is adjudicated, until there's a court order, there is no collective problem. And one of the things here is that they haven't yet conclusively proved that pumping in one corner of the district directly brings about problems in another corner of the district. I mean, they've got evidence, you know, they've got their studies that show that's possible. But if you go to these court hearings and you listen to the testimony of all the consultants, there's very good reasons, very good arguments to the contrary. It's a fragmented basin. It may not be, it isn't, I think you all agree, it's not completely interrelated. It's certainly not the same as some of the other water basins in the state, which are very clearly, you know, like a bathtub and everybody's sucking out of it, you know, with their own straw kind of thing. We're not in that kind of situation. It's very complex. And, Charlie, a couple of things that didn't get addressed, such as the right-of-way. Where are they with this right-of-way? I would guess there's some real problems in them being able to get the right-of-way for the pipeline, and they refused to acknowledge that when I was on the board 6 years ago.
Actually on the board?
Yeah, I served a term on the board, yeah. Yeah, I've been involved with it for years, and served a term on the board, and I'm pretty familiar with it. But this is big stuff, Michael. This is going to end up probably, could go to the Supreme Court before it's done. State Supreme Court.
Oh.
That's how big this is. And there's a lot of people around the state watching it, because if this appears to be a successful end run around 218, there's going to be a lot of districts trying it.
So you think I should not pay this?
Well, I think what you should do is whether you pay it or not.
Or pay it under protest?
Just understand what you're doing, and don't pay it thinking that it's all okay and it's everything's fine constitutionally.
You mean like I was paying my tax bill thinking it was all okay?
Yeah. I don't know. Did you happen to vote to receive a service from the agency? I don't. What service?
No,
you get
I well, yeah. That's for sure. I can tell you, I did not.
Yeah. See, I mean,
that's why when I saw this bill, I said, "Wait a minute! This is a bill. How dare someone charge me for something that I didn't I didn't order?"
Yeah.
And when I called, and the first time I talked to Charlie, he says to me, don't sweat it. You've been paying it all along. Check your tax bill."
Yeah,
and he was right. I have been paying it all along. So.
Right. Well, there's three lawsuits going. I think there'll be more before it's all said and done, and there's three lawsuits at least out there for a reason, and there's good, solid, ethical, responsible people in the Pajaro Valley that are involved in those lawsuits, and, like, they're not fringe kooks.
Okay.
And you need to look into it and talk to them.
Right.
And I'll leave it at that.
Why, thank you for leaving it at that. No, thank you
all
for calling.
Okay,
what
all right,
Michael. Tom in Watsonville. Now, for all of you with money problems out there, I want you to pay attention to one of the spots that's coming up, okay? It's voiced by me. It's in the stop set, right, Aaron? Yeah. Is it the first one in the stop set, or is it just in there somewhere? Yeah. You can make it the first one? Is that possible? Yeah, this is important. It's worthwhile. It's take 8 to 8.5 minutes of your time. For people who have money problems, it's sort of an interesting business opportunity. And you can guess what it is, but you should listen to this thing if you have a few minutes today. Or any time. It's on a recording. It's on a voicemail recording at 425-3090. But go ahead and play that. Go ahead and play that.
If you're in debt, living hand to mouth, tend to stress over finances, and are generally stuck in a rut, you should call this phone number and change your life starting right now. It will cost you 8.5 minutes of your time. 425-3090. 425-3090. Want to hear it again? 425-3090. Call it now. Get on the right track before you're old or dead. Do it now. Call 425-3090 and start your transformation into the new you, a happy, fulfilled person without money problems.
Hi, this is Don Fredrickson from GotNet. GotNet specializes in business services. Whether you need a T1 or T3 or just a place to host your website, GotNet has a solution to fit your needs. GotNet offers server colocation and custom website development. We have e-commerce servers, streaming audio and video servers, and cold fusion and database servers available to handle your hosting needs. GotNet understands that businesses rely on the Internet, and we work hard to assure fast, reliable service. Call GotNet today at 460-2000. Food, shelter, clothing, net. GotNet.
When it rains, it pours. Hello, I'm Jim Chubb of Pacific Inland Home Mortgage. This holiday season, we've teamed up with Coldwell Banker to collect toys and raise money for Toys for Tots. Recently, the warehouse flooded and over 400 toys were lost. We need your help. Call Pacific Inland at 475-2600 and we'll pick up your donation of toys. We'll also match your tax-deductible cash contributions to a total of $5,000. So call Pacific Inland at 475-2600 and help out. That's 475-2600. We need your help.
You've heard how too much sun exposure can damage our skin, from burning to drying to premature aging. Here's pharmacist Ben Fuchs on how to treat our skin better.
Alpha hydroxy acids are tiny molecular acidic structures that are found throughout nature, but when you put them on top of your skin, they have a remarkable ability to stimulate skin movement. Fortunately for us, our skin grows from the bottom to the top every day. And alpha hydroxy acids have an incredible ability to stimulate that movement, to encourage the growth of new tissue. And alpha hydroxy acids are made by every single one of the cells in your body, so they're completely non-toxic. And the most famous alpha hydroxy acid of all is glycolic acid. It's also found in sugar cane and sugar maple. That's the main source of alpha hydroxy acid. But as I said earlier, it's found throughout nature, and that accounts for its incredible gentleness and incredible safety. Alpha hydroxy acids work by turning on the systems of the skin. They also turn on collagen structure. So alpha hydroxy acids are very important for people who are suffering from wrinkling or photo damage as well, because they can actually support the growth of collagen, the protein that helps support skin tissue. Alpha hydroxy acids also can help even out skin tone, and they can help smooth out skin texture as well. So the combination of incredible gentleness and incredible effects make alpha hydroxy acids one of the most important things you can put on top of your skin.
So if you're suffering from dry, sun-damaged skin, or just want to smooth out those crow's feet, call your American Longevity distributor and ask for the Envision Alpha Hydroxy Facial Scrub. This gentle facial cleanser is designed to deep clean and remove the damaged surface layer of skin to reveal a smoother, younger-looking complexion. And at $24.50 a tube wholesale, it makes looking good easy and affordable.
To order or to pick up American Longevity products, call Scott or Jose at KSCO Radio, 831-475-1080. That's 831-475-1080.
2004 Greater Bay Bank, NA member, FDIC, equal housing lender.
Once upon a time in a bank.
So, what do you think of my construction project?
Well, Mr. Thompson, we've looked at your application and checked your credit, but...
Yes?
Headquarters back east gave us strict guidelines on commercial loans, and your project just isn't big enough. You see, we're not interested in wasting time on little projects. We're a...
national bank.
But this is my great project, my biggest yet.
When your bank treats your project like small potatoes, go to Coast Commercial Bank. Coast Commercial Bank is local people providing loans and banking solutions for local businesses, large and small. And we've proudly served Santa Cruz County for nearly a quarter century. Whether you need a construction loan or a checking account, we're in business for your business. Come to Coast Commercial Bank. Still, local people, local money, local bank. Coast Commercial Bank.
It would be...
KSCO-AM 1080.
That's okay.
Intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Yeah.
I'm fired.
No. But let's talk for a minute, okay? That last commercial for Coast Commercial Bank, it had Wendy's voice in it as she was playing the part of a loan officer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, I mean, Wendy being your loan officer, deciding whether or not you're going to get the money?
Well, it's a good thing I can't afford or have no use for a loan right now.
Well, we got to change that. By the way, in that earlier ad with Jim Chubb, he said that there was a flood and 400 toys were destroyed. I don't know the details of that. Do you?
No, I don't. I have no idea.
Okay. Well, regardless of what the details are, I mean, you know, just in case there's another flood, why doesn't everybody just give rubber duckies, you know, as the toy? Don't you think that's a good idea?
Well, Barbara Alexander would like it.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back to the closing 16 minutes of the KSCO Saturday special on your favorite radio station. It's MZ. We're still talking about the Pajaro Valley Water Management Agency and their charges and, you know, both the, you know, charges that they are collecting from district residents and the charges for what they're charged to do, you know, which is fix the water overdraft business problem and so forth. So if you want to weigh in on the problem, please give us a call. We've got open lines at 477-1340. We're using a great new phone system. So far, it doesn't seem to have too many or any glitches. So, and this is great because we can operate this remotely and everything. I'm just very, very, very excited. Very excited. Very excited. So give us a call if you want to check in. Who's next? Okay, someone named Michael in Santa Cruz has been waiting 28 minutes and 14, 15, 16 seconds. Okay, here you go. Michael, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for the show. I'm calling. I actually attended the Agenda 21 meeting.
It's that, Michael!
Yeah, it's
when did you move to Santa Cruz?
Well, I'm in La Selva, which is what I told the screener, but he's at Santa Cruz.
Okay. You're the Michael of the Liberty Garden.
Yes.
It's amazing. It's an amazing Liberty Garden. It's for everybody to see. I mean, everybody should see it before they die.
Well, that would be, you know, Liberty Gardens could be all over the place if policies change.
Yes. Okay, didn't want to knock you off track, Mike.
Okay, well, what I was going to say was that I sat on the Agenda 21 committees, and what was talked about in the context of water there was something called integrated water, which is designed to gain a central control over water so that uses can be very heavily regulated and restricted. So to create an integrated water plan for Santa Cruz, what's needed is for the three big districts, San Lorenzo, Soquel, and Pajaro, to work together to squeeze out private users and to squeeze out competition. Now, to do that, they've got to raise a lot of money. And San Lorenzo has done that. And Pajaro is doing that. Now, the big champion of integrated water is Soquel Creek Water District. And so what you see when you evaluate these water districts is movements to gobble up the districts next to them.
Okay.
So,
by the way,
I wouldn't give them any money.
Okay.
If I were you.
Okay. And okay, because the reason I wouldn't do it is because it's the proverbial camel knows under the tent thing, you know.
Well, they're way under. They're much more advanced than just having their nose in the tent. You know, John Laird's water policy is for state ownership of all water.
Well, wait a minute. This used to be on the tax bill, and if I wouldn't have paid that portion of the tax bill, wouldn't my property be sold to the state pretty quickly?
You know, I can't answer that. Now, what one has to do practically varies from situation to situation. I don't know this particular bill that you're discussing, but certainly the broader augmentation fee being imposed on the farmers is part of a plan of, we're going to have you victimize yourself. And that's what the metering has been about and what the taxing has been about. And in this smaller tax bill that must be more widely circulated isn't something I knew about, but I do know that what Tom said with regard to the litigation is so true. I mean, this is serious litigation. And
was I a stupid fool for registering my will about 10 years ago?
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
See, because that's what caused this bill to be sent to me, or I guess that's what caused the tax charge to me.
Well, you know, and it is the policy, it is the practice of the sustainable developers, as they call themselves, to get their foot in the door 10 years early and then saying, well, we had this law for a long time. You know, an example of that is a law that affects the people in the mountains. They passed it 2 years ago called the Fishland Ordinance, which says if development is inappropriate on half of the landscape, that's what they call fishland, they have the power to decommission it. That's their word, not mine.
Wow, we're going to have to save this for a whole program in and of itself.
Okay.
Michael.
But I'd be careful of anything Action Paro or Paro Valley Water District is up to.
I appreciate the advice. Thanks very much for that and your call to the Saturday special. That was Michael in LaSalva Beach. Now we're going to go to our next caller, Downtown Al in Santa Cruz. Whoops, I dropped Downtown Al. Are you there?
Michael, good show as usual.
Oh, thank you.
I didn't get on to ask Charles some questions, but, you know, all water users are not alike.
He's probably listening, and if you push his button, he might be inclined to call on the cell phone.
Because this is like a pet peeve of mine. It's, you know, they always want to set up these big bureaucracies, like if you have a community where there's septic systems where they actually use the water, but they also recharge the aquifer because it soaks back into the ground.
Yeah.
They always want to put in big sewer systems so that you can, you know, have bonds and then charge people sewer fees and whatever else. In fact, it's said in the San Lorenzo Valley that if people weren't using septic systems, there'd be a negative flow in the San Lorenzo River. So it's, you know, and I think a lot of farmers in the Pajaro area, and maybe yourself included, in more rural residences, they actually kind of borrow the water to the extent that they pump it out of the ground and then it flows back in.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Should you be charged as much as somebody who's maybe on a sewer system where, you know, industry and residences in Watsonville use the water and then it's piped into a sewage system
Absolutely
and basically flows
not.
Out to the ocean?
Absolutely not.
And, you know, I really wonder when this whole problem started. Maybe it did because they started building up these, you know, big sewage systems and whatever else. And it has more to do with how the water is, you know, being disposed of instead of overpopulation or anything else.
Right.
And, I mean, there is a reality that, you know, people maybe do need to recharge the aquifer or something like that. But the thing is, I think a lot of things can be done to where you don't have to have big bureaucracies managing them. You can let people do it on their own, and you don't have to be, you know, breathing down their neck or charging them fees or anything else.
Okay.
So I'm just curious about, like I said, certain agricultural users, maybe, you know, except for evaporation, a little bit of runoff, they're actually recycling a lot of the water. And certain other users may not be
doing that.
I'm
really happy you brought that up. DA.
Yeah, are you on a septic system, your property there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, well, you know, you're recharging the aquifer also.
Yes.
As you're using it.
That's right.
And it doesn't seem fair to me that you should have to be part of this big bureaucracy they're trying to build up where, you know, they want to pipe water in from other places.
Okay, I guess I'm not going to pay it after all. To hell with the miles.
Well, it'd be great to see what happens.
Yeah.
I definitely wait and see if it develops and, like, I don't know what it, you know, like they said, you said, okay. It's no longer on your tax bill. Maybe.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
We appreciate your call. Now we're going to go to serial caller. Serial caller, not serial faxer. You're on the air, serial caller.
Hello, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, it's Bruce.
That's why I'm the serial caller.
I got you. Okay. Oh, you tricked us.
No, sir.
You've been on twice. Did we hang up sooner than we should?
It's been my nickname for years.
Okay.
So,
all the water that Southern California, Monterey, and Santa Cruz counties need is going down through the Carquinez Straits as we speak. But before I get into that, the reason you shouldn't pay that fee is to discover how they're going to enforce it. And if they threaten to take your property, it's a tax and it's illegal. So, the Sacramento and San Joaquin...
That does it. I'm not going to pay it.
Good. The Sacramento and San Joaquin rivers join at Antioch. That's where I was raised. The river underneath the Antioch Bridge is 0.9 miles across. Wow. I've swum it in it. Scary. So, all that water is going into San Francisco Bay, and
is that fresh water?
It is, to an extent, because the elevation at Antioch, which is 50 miles inland, is 13 feet, which means any part of the river...
It's near the delta.
Yeah. Any part of the river deeper than 13 feet is below sea level. So you get saltwater intrusion sometimes close to Sacramento. So what they need to do at the Carquinez Straits, which is where it necks down to pretty close, is put not a dam exactly, but I think they call it a weir with a ship lock so traffic can go up and down. But that'll keep all the water on the uphill side of that fresh. And right now, my dad used to work for the California Aqueduct, and they pump water from Byron or close to Byron down to Southern California. Now, the reason, well, anyway, it's fresh enough for Southern California to use, and that's with saltwater intrusion. So if we can keep the saltwater out, you could have two or three California aqueducts, and you're not wasting anything. All that water is just going out to the ocean.
Right.
And the water doesn't rise or fall appreciably during the year.
Right.
A ton of water is going down just to waste, basically.
Wow.
And, you know, with clever pipelines, it could be done.
I'm going to check that out this afternoon.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much. There's a serial faxer who's a.k.a. Bruce in Boulder Creek, or Ben Lomas, somewhere up there in San Lorenzo Valley. Speaking of San Lorenzo Valley, poor Jan from San Lorenzo Valley has been waiting for 16 minutes and 14 seconds, but your wait is over.
Hi, thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
I just want to mention that there is a source of water that we're not using. We're, you know, nature's using it for us, but we aren't taking advantage of it. How about the rainwater that comes down here in the wintertime? We get so much rainwater, we don't know what to do with it. Why can't we put that into, catch it off of our roofs, put it in tanks, and store that for use and also for fire protection? Gordon Stewart had that idea when he was running for the water district here.
I think it should become a requirement.
I think so, too. Also,
and if people violate it, we should consider imposing the death penalty.
Well, it may come to that someday, unfortunately. Also, another idea is, you know, new buildings. I don't really want to see much more growth here, but on new buildings, they could have a system where you take the gray water from showers, et cetera, and use that for flushing our toilets instead of using drinking water.
Wow. You know, that's sort of a neat idea, actually.
Well, we're wasting that water. I mean, it just comes out of the shower, you know, down the system. Why can't we put it into a tank and we use that?
You are a very intelligent woman.
Thank you. I just see some of these things as very, you know, basic ideas, and no one is talking about them.
Well, you just did to thousands of people.
And thank you for letting me do that.
Thank you. Appreciate
your
call.
Best
happy holidays to you, Jan, from San Lorenzo Valley. Our next caller will be none other than Mark in Salinas. Hello,
hey.
Mark in Salinas.
Hello, Michael. Hey, thank you very much. I've got the $70 million solution for both counties.
It's that, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hi. And I'll make this quick because I know we're running short on time.
Yes.
A fellow named Bob Ernst used to be the chairman of the Monterey Peninsula Water Management.
I remember the name, yeah.
Back in the 80s. And Bob was saying that there was a proposal floated a number of years ago to raise the spillway on one of the two dams that the Monterey County Water Resources Agency owns in San Luis County, either Nazi Manto or Lake San Antonio. But you raise the spillway by 6 feet, and you create another 250,000 acre-feet of water at a cost of $70 million. That solves the water problem for Cal-Am on the Monterey Peninsula. It solves the saltwater intrusion problem. And, you know, it would also solve the water need problems for the Pajaro Valley. And the big problem that they ran into was the fact that back in the 50s when those dams, those reservoirs were built, the people on the Monterey Peninsula didn't want to get in on the project. So because of the enabling legislation, they can't go back in now and do that. And the farmers don't want to sell them the water. But I would think that, you know, politicians can do damn near anything they want if they get the legislature and the governor behind.
Did you say politicians can do damn near anything they want? I think that's very clever in this conversation.
Yeah.
You're a very clever man, Mark.
Inadvertently. Uh-huh. But, you know, you think about something like that where you get your local politicals, your state assembly, senator peoples together on this project, and instead of the $250 million that they want to spend for a desal plant in Moss Landing, and the $150 million for this pipeline project for Pajaro Valley, you could have something at one-sixth the cost, and it would solve the water problem.
Is Bob Ernst still alive?
Oh, yeah, he is. He's a young guy. He's only about 45 or so.
Oh.
Yeah, he's still around.
Okay. Well, we salute him for coming up with this idea so long ago. That's $70 million to do that. That's still a lot of money, but it's probably worth it.
Yeah, but it's a lot less than the $400 million if you combine the cost of the two projects.
Sure, sure. Okay. Hey, Mark, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate your call.
Sure.
Here goes Mark in Salinas. Here comes Carl N. Watsonville. Hey, Carl.
Good morning.
How in the world are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
I've lived here in the Valley since 1950, and we own a couple people know who it is.
That makes you older than even me.
Well, I come up here as a young man, so I wasn't born here. I come up here as a young man. So anyway, we've got some man-made dams, and we irrigate out of our ag partials are irrigated out off of the man-made lakes. But the reason one thing that wasn't ever brought up, whether you caught it or not, is that we're taxed twice. You and I are on our tax bills. If you look at your tax bill real close, I think you'll see there's still an $18 charge.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I brought that up, actually.
And
that's an administrative charge rather than an augmentation charge.
But why are we charged for that administration charge and then turn around and charged again? I didn't understand that. I still don't understand. How can we be charged by the county, which skims off of the top for administration charges up there? And
I guess I wasn't tough enough on Charles. I don't know. I just seemed like a nice person. I didn't want to make him feel like, you know, he was being ambushed or anything, you know. But, yeah, that's a good point, huh? Why didn't I say that?
Yeah, I mean, we got, you know, we all know it takes, you know, you got to do it there. You've got administrative costs.
Right.
That's a given thing for running a business.
Well, thank you very much for bringing that up.
And
I didn't do it, so you did. We're pretty much at the tail end of our program.
But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, and I'll let you go, and it was a good program.
Bless you. Okay,
thank you,
Carl in Watsonville. Indeed, it is the end of our program. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. We will rebroadcast the radio program tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or anytime on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com on the web. Thank you, Aaron, for being a great pilot in command. Thank you, Dennis, for being a wonderful call screener. Thank you, Rosie and Kay, for doing... No, wait a minute. I usually thank them. Thank MZ, because I came up with this one. Okay, see you next week, whenever. Take care. See you.
KSEO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville.
Kharkiv.